Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be home. Amen. What a blessing it is to be in the house. There's so many sweet memories here that the Lord has given me here. Everything important to my life, I've said this before, everything important to my life has happened here. I got saved here, got married here, was called to preach as a teenager here. So everything important to me has happened in this place. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. And if the Lord allows me, I want to go a little bit farther about this friend that we have, this Jesus, and show the benefits of the friend that we have. Amen. And when I think about this verse we had, I'll just tell you a little bit. Around my place lately, we have really been under attack. Satan has been showing up. Things have been going on. And we've been trying to hold it with the Word of God and do what we're supposed to do and be faithful to Him. But Satan's on the attack. And I'm glad that I have a friend. I'm glad that I have one that loves me more than anything. And I'm glad that I am a man, that I'm not playing church, that I have a Jesus, that I have a Savior that is all to me. And I think about what He's done for me, and then I looked at this verse, and this is where we're at today. But if you go to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 10, it says, "And when He was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" Now, we're living in a time and age that everybody knows who God is, but very few people know who Jesus is. And when we go a little bit farther, when you think of Jerusalem here for a moment, think of them as the religious church. We have a lot of religious churches that Jesus Christ is not within 50 feet of. And when we think about this for a moment, we see a little bit farther, and this is what happens when Jesus shows up in the religious crowd. It says in verse 15, it says, "And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased." Now, when you think about that for a moment, they were not happy. And today, when we start talking about Jesus and having a friend that's even closer than a brother, and the one that is the lover of our souls, and the only one that can save us from the eternal hell, the world gets nervous. The Joe Osteen crowd gets nervous. Right. And when you think about that for a moment here, it says they were sore displeased. It didn't fit the plan. And then here's the thing about that. You know, Jesus is not within 50 feet of that crowd. And I hope today that you're not part of that crowd. But go with me to verse 17 for a moment. It says, "And He left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and He lodged there." Now when you see that verse there, it says, "And He left them." He pulled out. He's left the religious crowd a long time ago. But if you think about this, what was in Bethany for a moment? I'll tell you what was in Bethany. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, his friends. Yes. That's who was in Bethany. The ones that loved him was in Bethany. The ones that he wanted to be within, it says here, very in this verse here, it says that he left the first ones, the ones in Jerusalem, and then it says he lodged there in Bethany. So when you think that, when Jesus showed up on the screen, on the scene there, it became the house of God. Because He's dwelling with them. He's living amongst them. And when you think about that for a moment, we think about the friends that He's given. The first thing that we look at, we can go over to John chapter 11 for a moment. And as we go over to John chapter 11, we know this is the story where Lazarus is resurrected. But when we look at John chapter 11... we'll see that there's a lordship there. And when we look at this for just a moment, we see in verse 32, it says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And if you go back to John chapter 11 and verse 5 for a moment, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Now He's there with His friends. Now we see here where she professes who He is and establishes His lordship. And folks, here's the thing. If we're going to be a friend of Jesus, we've got to establish His lordship in our lives.
Amen.
Because if we don't establish who He is in our life, you know, some people will say that He's just a great man, He's just a good man. He's more than that. He's
God in the flesh. He's the only one that could die for my sin. He's the only one that could have paid the price.
Amen.
And we see here this lordship that's established. Then after we see this lordship that is established, we hear the friendship. There's a friendship here. He was on his way, but we know the story. We know that he was coming. And as he was coming, some people say, well, he took too much time, but he wanted to show them that he was God in the flesh. But he loved him. The Word of God says that. If we establish his lordship in our lives, we will establish a friendship. We will have a friendship that sticks closer than a brother. We'll have a friendship that no matter what, and you know, there are times when people don't like me, my dog don't even like me, but I can get on that old recliner in my bedroom and I can cry out to God and he's there to hear me.
Amen.
There is a time that I have a friend that I can't tell nobody else. I can't call my daddy. And my dad's one of the best friends I've got. I call my dad and I say, hey man, let me tell this off. There's times I just can't call him. I have to get on that in my office and I have to cry out to the Lord because he's the only friend that will stick that close to me.
Amen.
And when we look at the friendship for a moment, I'm talking about a friendship here that you can rely on. A friendship that just don't go away. You know, being in the ministry, most of you know this, but we've got a lot of friends that when you look for them, you don't find them. And then there's to be a few of them friends that you didn't think that was your friend for a bit.
Amen.
And they'll call you and they say, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm doing okay. No, come on, tell me how you doing. Been praying for you. My heart's heavy for you. What's going on with you, brother? You know, I'm talking about we should have that relationship with Christ. A man that was willing to die for us. No other man is willing to die for me. Don't expect another man to be willing to die for me. But it's a friendship that he has given us. Oh, we look and we go a little bit farther here. We see here that in John chapter 11, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
He said that to her. And then I believe before that, she was a disciple. But after he said that, she believed every word that he had to say. She didn't understand how he was going to do it. She called out, Lord. She said, hey, if you had just been here. What a friendship that we have here.
Amen.
And once we have that lordship established, and once we have that friendship established, then there's that discipleship
that
is established.
Yes.
Now, if you're walking with the Lord and you're His friend and He's your Lord, there should be that you start following Him. There should be a time in your life that Word that you've got stretched across your lap, that Word becomes so precious to you that you can't live without it. The reason why you can't live without it is because that's how Jesus whispers sweet peace to you. That's how He keeps you from being offended with everything that comes around you and everything that goes on about you. That's how He keeps you in place because we're a disciple of Christ.
Amen.
Today we have used that word Christian in such a way everybody can be a Christian. I don't believe that, folks.
No, sir.
That's right.
I still believe that if you're a Christian, you follow Christ.
Yes, right.
You have a separation from the things of the world.
Right.
You use the right book. And you study the right book, and you don't take men's opinion over the Word of God.
Amen.
Oh, I was talking to someone the other day at the hospital, and I was sitting up there, and this man was telling me everything. He said, well, this is what Brother So-and-so says. I said, well, that ain't what the Bible says.
Amen.
He said, are you going to take the Bible for His Word? I guarantee you I will.
Amen.
Because this is a book that was God-breathed, inspired by Him. Preserved.
Yes.
It's the truth.
Yes.
It's the only thing that's truthful in this world.
Amen.
Oh, but see, here's the thing. We don't want to be a disciple of that because that acquires us of following the truth. Now, it's easy for us to say that He's our friend. It's easy for us to say that He's our Lord. But it's hard for us to say that we're a disciple because that indicates that we're following Him with our mind, with our heart, with our soul, with our being.
Amen.
And a lot of people want to be identified with being his friend. A lot of people want to be identified with him being their Lord, but they don't want to be identified as being a disciple. Because with being a disciple sometimes, there are things that take place that are not pleasant being a disciple of Christ. It's not, I'm sorry, but I thought when I first was called to preach, I thought everybody would call me and invite me to preach, you know. I thought when I first started following Christ and doing it full time, I thought, oh, everything's going to be great. There's not going to be no troubles. I can hear the birds whistling, everything great. I can skip through life.
Yes.
Boy, was I wrong.
Amen.
Yeah. I found out that as long as I stood in my knees to anybody, a lot of people didn't want to come to my church. As long as I said, no, we're not going to have that type of music in our sanctuary. It's going to be the old hymns. It's going to be what is true. It's going to be what is proven by Scripture. That's what we're going to have. That's what a lot of people don't want to be around.
Right.
When we look at the Word of God and we see how we're going to live, I'm going to say, well, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you actually mean that? Guess what? You don't have a whole lot of friends. And no, I'm not having a pity party because I've got a friend better than any of your friends. I've got Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, what a friend He is to me. You know, oh, what a Savior. I think about what he's done for me and how much that He's loved me. You know, the next thing that we have here after the discipleship, we have worship. And here today in the modern church, if you think about a modern church, there was a lot of noise being made. If you go back to our opening text, and it said that they saw all the good works that He did and everything, but they were sore displeased. Modern day worship leaves people on an emotional roller coaster. And when you think of worship for a moment, you need to understand that we're talking about true worship here. And I would like to be known like Mary was known. It says in verse 2 of chapter 11, it says, it was the Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet and her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. You think about this. Here's her Lord standing in front of her. The one that she proved His Lordship. She decided to be a friend. Now she's a disciple. And now she's there and she's worshiping Him. And she drops to her knees. And she gets on her knees. And literally the picture that I have, she's taking her hair. And she's down by the feet. And she's just the lowest you can be in worship. And she didn't care who saw it. She didn't care who was around. She didn't care if the religious crowd was talking about how much money she spent on the ornament. All that mattered to her was her Savior. All that mattered to her was her Jesus. All that mattered to her was her friend.
Amen.
Oh, when you think about that, we're too busy thinking about, well, who's going to watch me do this? I'm going to worship, and I want somebody to watch me worship. Folks, worship's not about that. If you're truly worshiping, and I'm going to throw this out here, I'm going to blow some of y'all's minds. 2 weeks ago in our church, I preached a message, salvation message. Everything I thought was going to find people were crying in the aisles and crying in the pews, and I thought, oh, there's a lot of lost people there. I thought all the altars are going to start. And this visitor, been there a second time, she stands up in the back of the church during the invitation when I ask everybody to close their eyes and bow their head, and she screams like somebody stabbed her with a knife. And I'm going to tell you something. God wasn't within 50 foot of it. It shut it down. The ones that were crying were looking around to see what was going on. And all her and her husband was talking about how they worship. Folks, we got to be careful that we don't bring in the world's worship into our church.
Amen.
Because He is the only one that is worthy to be worshipped.
Amen.
And the Word of God says that it will be in decent and in order. He said, oh, yes, I believe in shouting. If you run the lap, I'm all right with that. And as long as it's pointing towards Jesus.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And we think about this because I'll tell you something. If you're worshiping Him because He's your friend and He's your Lord and He's so close to you and you're His disciple and you can't wait for the next word to come from Him and you get down on your hands and knees and at your altar of prayer and you literally sometimes just break down and humble yourself to the place that you're literally almost washing His feet with your hair again because you're trying to humble yourself because you need a moving from God. That is worship.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
lifting your hands is worship and praising His name. It's all about Him. It's not about the one that praises. It's not about the one that that gets up and does his little dance. It's about the one we're worshiping.
Yeah.
And we see here we've got friends. You know, the world don't want nothing to do with them. He makes them uncomfortable. Folks, we're starting a time in America's history that's never been like any other time. And here's the thing. We're going to truly have to start worshiping Him. Not going through the motions. We're going to have to really decide that we're disciples and make a statement. And we're really going to have to decide that He is our friend. And we're really going to have to decide that He's our Lord.
Yes.
Because you're not going to stand, you're not going to be faithful, and you're not going to worship unless He's your Lord. That's all it is to it. And you say, oh, we're all born again in here. I praise the Lord, that is the situation here. We're all Christians, but I'll tell you something. We need to understand that we're going to be under attack and we're going to need that freedom.
Yeah.
We need to understand, besides being under that attack, we need to know what we believe. You know, I talked to a so-called preacher the other day, and he was a General Baptist, a lot of them in my area, and he was talking to me, and all he knew about me was this. He said, oh, you're independent Baptist, so that means you can't lose your salvation. I said, yeah, that's right. I said, well, tell him. I knew what he believed. I ended up telling him what he believed. And he said, yeah, I think that's right. I think we do believe that. I just didn't mention that. We're going to have to know our enemy. We're going to have to stand for some things.
Amen.
And we're going to have to take it outside the camp meeting.
Right.
Yes,
sir.
And we're going to have to take it outside our church.
Amen.
And we're going to have to take it into our workplaces, and it's not going to be popular in the public. But folks, I don't want to be the religious crowd. See, like Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, I want to be the spring.
Amen.
I want to be the one that